The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Good afternoon. I'm Andy Stevens. This is the Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. How are you? How's your day? You're outside grafting in the cold weather, the rain, the wind, or you inside with a nice cup of tea and a few biscuits? Programme director here at Fix Radio, Graham Mack, he's just been sharing bourbon biscuits around, which has been very pleasant. Although Jack, the producer, has turned around and said, if you eat the whole packet, you're doing 1400 calories. So I reckon a couple of those in each morning before you set off to work and you'll be flying all day. Now, we've got a great show. Bill Hill, the CEO of the Lighthouse Charity, he's talking about the latest work they're doing within the construction industry, all the amazing things they're doing for people suffering with mental health, finance problems, etc. Twag of the week, she's married to a landscaper, so that's bound to be an interesting chat, isn't it? All the mud being carted in through the house. And finally, my rant this week, it's about customers. Why, oh why do we do this job for a living? The building game isn't what it was a decade ago, and we're certainly not earning anywhere near the same dosh. Now, quick update on the job that I keep talking about, starting in April. Lovely customers, three kids. Turns out the lady of the house, who's pretty posh to be fair, she's got an addiction, I found out. Now, you're going to be pleased to hear it's not booze, drugs, gambling, selling arms, nothing like that, but it's clothes shopping. And the most ironic thing that I've ever heard, the brand she loves is called Hush. As in, hush, don't tell the husband about it. And the best thing is she tries to smuggle it in with a kid's order from John Lewis under the disguise of click and collect. But she's on a ban, as they've got a divvy here coming in soon to smash the house to pieces. And funnily enough, she's also asked me to go in and fill her back door in. More on that later. Construction news, more importantly, main story on construction news today. Waits Residential has appointed Leah Silver as Development Director as it's part of its plans to expand operations across London and the South East. Does anyone actually give a toss? It's hardly a headline, is it? Anyway, moving on. If you think your overdraft alone's heavy, listen to this. Analyst Stephen Rawlinson has said InterServe's debt could continue to rise and peak close to the maximum facility available at, wait for it, £800 million. Blimey, nearly £1 billion, and I struggle getting a small overdraft. Can you imagine the interest on that debt? And they're still allowed to trade, aren't they? Unbelievable. I'm Andy Stevens, and this is The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. Mental health, financial problems, all of these are huge, huge issues in our industry. And running a small building company, I'm only well aware of these, having seen some guys that have worked for me previously and at present that have been affected by these things. And joining me now is Bill Hill, the CEO of the construction industry charity, The Lighthouse. Good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, Andy.
Now, we'll go straight into it. There's a new sort of way that you're working and getting support and raising the brand and the awareness of the charity. It's the Lighthouse Company Supporter. Could you take us through that and how it's going to work?
It's actually come about through huge success, partially due to the great work you do about getting the word of our charity out there, is that we have seen the number of cases that we are working with now over the last 5 years mushroom. When I joined the charity 5 years ago, I think we were probably looking after maybe somewhere about 375, 400 families a year in crisis, falling into crisis from the construction industry. And we were probably giving out around about £400,000 worth of charitable support. This year, thanks to things like the Construction Industry Helpline that we've been running for the last 2 or 3 years, we're tracking towards 2,000 cases that we're supporting, and we're looking to distribute around about £1.3 million in support. And this whole thing's come about because we've totally relied on in the past with what I call unpredictable income, where people would climb a mountain, do a bit of running for us, do a golf day for us, and although there's a lot of those, we just have no idea on 1 year to the next how much money we'll be able to raise to support our services. And as our charitable services are becoming more mainstream to support the industry, we need to do something about that to create more of a predictable income So what we're asking companies to do now is to say, like, you know, please come and be a company supporter for our charity and pledge an annual amount of money that you as a company will give us. And if we can get lots of companies to join in this program, we will have a better way of supporting our charitable services going forward. It'll be far more predictable, and we'll be able to plan new services that we can give to people in crisis if we know how much money we're going to get in. It's as simple as that, Andy.
I think the important thing, Bill, is what you just said. It's what that company can afford. So it could be a small company that can only afford £100. It could be, obviously, a big national developer that can afford a lot more. But one thing I've taken note is if a company can pledge a £1,000 donation for the year, they get their logo on the website's company supporter page. So there's an incentive to stretch that a little bit more with this.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't put a hierarchy in the giving in any way, shape or form, because we totally realise what you just said there, is that, you know, you get small companies and they give you £100 or £250 a year. Absolutely magic. That's a lot of money for them. That's brilliant. And you get maybe some major companies who may give £5,000-£10,000 a year, which would also be lovely, and it has the same effect on them. So we're not putting any hierarchy in there, but what we are doing is if somebody pledges us an annual a sum of money, we'll make sure they get posters and the helpline cards going to the company so they can distribute them to their people. And I think, you know, I think this delivers to them and like an employee assistance program for their people, because that's what the little card does. It gives access to our services, to the helpline, and they can use it like an employee assistance program. Many of the smaller companies have nothing like that to support the people.
What I'd like to do, Bill, is take a step back just for a minute. As I say, I've worked with over the years people that have suffered with mental health, you know, donkey's years ago up to the present day. And I think slowly the awareness, especially in our industry, is growing, which is great. But I think the other side of the coin is the general, if you like, thoughts of people that are being affected by it and how they're perceived when they try and talk to someone. I've seen it, you know, if you want to call it the older generation, where 30, 40 years ago, if you said you were suffering with mental health, you just got a funny look. It's almost an educational process that we need not just to do as an industry, but certainly as an illness that everybody can suffer from. It is a big thing. It's not what it was 30 years ago. It's now, you know, having a lot of support from charities like yourself. But I think the big thing is people, especially the older generation, need to really understand what this illness is and how it affects people.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Andy. And I think, you know, certainly I come from a generation where you were just told to pull your socks up or tough it out or whatever. That's not good enough for the generations coming through now. The generations come through demand a better culture than that. They demand a more open culture. They demand that supportive environment where they can talk about things. And you know, it's been well acknowledged within the industry that, you know, we have got a skills crisis coming up, and we're all the different industries are fighting for the same youth to come into the industry. So unless we get this culture right, that will be a good place for them to land and enjoy being in the construction industry, because there's a supportive culture around it, we won't be able to attract the young talent in the future that our industry so desperately needs. So yeah, you're dead right. It's not just dealing with the problems we got today, but it's looking forward into the future and say, how do we get young people to come into this industry? How do we make a really a great industry for them to be in, where they will be supported in the way that they need to be supported going forward into the future?
Somebody sent me a really interesting chart, what not to say to a friend experiencing a mental health problem. And this is going back to what we just talked about. People saying things like, you need to get out more, it's all in your mind, snap out of it, things could be worse. No one ever said life was fair. What people don't realise is that by saying comments like this, it makes things a hell of a lot worse. So it is back to the educational side of it. And also, when someone is suffering with mental health, they need to know that when they do try and talk to someone, which as we know is the hardest point, they're going to get that right comment back, because something like that will set them back a long, long way.
Yeah, we are working very hard we're working closely with the Construction Industry Training Board, and they've given us a grant to get 150 mental health first aid instructors out into construction. Those first aid instructors will be able to deliver the 2-day mental health first aid course to people. So you're going to get people on site who are going to be a little more skillful about having those conversations, because you know what you're saying, Andy, is so true, that you know if you're not skilled in being able to talk to somebody with a mental health issue, then you very quickly lose their trust, because it's very difficult for somebody to talk to you about it, and then if you immediately lose their trust because you're being judgmental, or you start talking about your experiences, saying, well, I don't see that's a problem, why have you got a problem with that? Well, that's your reality, it's certainly not their reality. They're having a problem with it, so you've got to be able to listen and communicate non-judgmentally when being able to respond to somebody, and their mental health first aid courses give you that training and those skills, and the more people we can get on site who've got those skills, the better culture we'll deliver in the future. And what's brilliant is the CITB see this as a high priority as well, and they are distributing a grant to be able to make that happen, which is stunning, really. It's been fascinating working with them. It's been really good.
Fantastic. Now, obviously this time of year, it's what I call the silly season. Everyone's out in the pub, Christmas lunches, parties. There's even rumour has it Louis's taken us all out here at Fix. Something to look forward to. It's also the flip side of that. Alcohol's not a good thing with mental illness. So I don't really want to sort of finish on a low note, but it's a lot of people do turn to it as a sort of relief, an escape. But just something to bear in mind, if things aren't great, there's no point in going out and absolutely tearing into the booze, because it actually does make things worse, doesn't it?
Every single study I've read on the subject says that if there is a mental health issue, alcohol will only exacerbate the problem and make it so much worse. It might give you temporary relief overnight. You not only get a sore head in the morning, but the problem has not gone away, and sometimes it gets exacerbated. And also with alcohol, you obviously take a higher risk profile as well. So if you're really suffering and feeling low and down, and then you're left on your own and you've got a skin full, it's not a good place to be, because sometimes you will take a risk and that risk might end up being not good. And then the other thing as well, you just think about many of the sites of alcohol and drug testing as well. So you've got to think about your work as well. I mean, if you've got, you're in a low position and then you go to work and you get alcohol tested and you get chucked out of your site, I mean, that just, it's going to make things 10 times worse, especially coming up towards Christmas. Just out there, party, but enjoy it. Think about it. Moderate. It's tough sometimes, but try and moderate.
Wise words, Bill. Thank you ever so much. We'll be talking again next week about the launch of your new app even. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
And on the line, we have Louise as our Twag of the Week. Hello, Louise.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, Andy. How are you?
Good, yeah. Not bad, thanks. Not bad at all. Now, to talk us through your other half. I called him a landscape gardener, but I understand that I've completely demoted him. Is that right?
It's not quite the same. Similar sort of thing. He installs commercial playground equipment and the servicing that goes underneath it. So in like schools and public play areas like parks and bits and pieces. So not quite your normal landscape garden.
But this time of year, with the weather, he obviously being an outdoor trade, he comes home absolutely caked. So this is your chance to have a right old moan about him. So he rocks up, probably comes in, what, 4:30, 5:00? What's his worst habit? Does he wander in through the front door, mud everywhere, or is he quite considerate?
Back door, muddy boots sometimes, that's one of the things. The other thing that isn't always that great is sawdust leaves that lying around, follows him everywhere, unfortunately.
So sawdust at the front door, mud all over the back door, that's not a great start, is it? Now, I've got to ask as well, is he an early bird? Is he up early on this? Is he waking you up? Is he strolling out the door?
Yeah, he's up every day between 5:30 and 6 to drag me out of bed to make him a cup of tea.
Right, so you're up to make him tea. Do you venture into sandwiches, or is your tea your limit?
Oh, it depends. It depends where he's off to, really. But sometimes, if he's lucky, he'll get a sandwich.
Now, the previous twags we've had on, tradesmen's wives and girlfriends, one sort of common complaint is their other half comes in absolutely exhausted being a physical job. How is Gavin? Does he come in knackered, or is he coming in bounding around the place like a young puppy?
Oh, no, he's probably the same as everyone else, to be honest. It depends what he's doing, because he does so many different types of things. It's not the same every day. Some days it'll be a real hard day and he'll come in absolutely knackered. Other days he's not too bad, but generally now, especially in this weather, it's not too nice coming in after a long, hard day at work.
So if you could change, just finally, if you could change one thing about Gavin that really grates you, what would you change?
Oh, him learning to empty his pockets and his trousers after being at work, that's probably the biggest thing, rather than having bits of drill bits and washers and screws going around the washing machine.
I've got to say, that is pretty much the most common answer to that. It's, as you rightly said, pencils, screws, a few nails, a few old receipts. I bet your washing machine is absolutely knackered.
Well, we've been through a couple, put it that way.
Well, Louise, thanks ever so much. You have been our twag of the week. And, good luck getting up at 5 a.m. to get that kettle on for him.
Thanks.
Cheers, Louise. Bye. And now it's time for my rant.
Let the rant begin.
Customers, I've had enough. I've been doing this job for many years and we've worked for some great customers, but also some absolutely horrible ones. You know the ones, the non-payers, the pedantic, horrible ones that don't show any gratitude throughout the job, the ones that watch you all day and think they know everything. Now, years ago, we earned decent money doing extensions, refurbs, etc. Now, it's a lot tougher to earn that level of cash and customers are a bigger pain in the ass. One of my suppliers is telling me that so many builders have been in the larger jobs because of the hassle. They're moving on to just doing small bathrooms, kitchens, bit of landscaping. So that means there's going to be less and less contractors to do the bigger jobs. The way it's going, we will all walk away from these bigger jobs. They're becoming such a ball ache. Can't the custards just let us get on with our work? Now, what do we got? The watchers. They're the bad ones, aren't they? Standing there over your shoulder just watching and watching. And you think after half an hour, they've got to be gone. And you turn around, they're still there watching. All you want to do is tell them to do one and bugger off. And then you've got the watchers who will say, well, I've seen this on Google, or, well, I've been on YouTube. Well, I tell you what, mate, why don't you do it yourself? Save a fortune until you completely feck it up and call a proper tradesperson to correct your balls up. Then you've got the office bods who will send you millions of huge emails. Like we've got time to reply to these. We're grafting away while you're shuffling papers about in your office looking busy. But the worst ones? They're the non-payers. You know the ones. You get to the end of the job, the work is great, and they don't pay you that last instalment, the retention amount, all the extras which you've all agreed. As an industry, we lose 2 trades a day to suicide. This is one of the main reasons. How can they have the nerve just to say, we're not paying you, take us to court? I've let quite a few of these go over the years, as they know that us trades, we haven't got the time, we haven't got the resource, or we haven't got the money to do so. It infuriates me. Load of builders I know are the same. It's appalling. We've got mouths to feed, kids to look after. How dare you? I hope you sleep well knowing you've knocked tradespeople. I hope you sleep well knowing our kids might go without because of you. I hope you sleep well because don't forget, we know where you live, you horrible, nasty, evil custards.
Andy Stevens on Fix Radio.